care if you had arthritis in your reverse. I don't care what your story is. But
with the Superhuman Radio News Update, I'm Elliot Turton. Parasitic worms in pigs could provide new treatments in human diseases. New treatments for inflammatory bowel disease, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, diabetes, and autism could be on the horizon. After a global study involving 11 institutions in 6 countries led by the University of Melbourne successfully mapped out the genes in a parasitic worm in pigs. Lead researcher Dr. Aaron Jeck said, "We know that humans infected with the harmless pig whipworm can have significantly reduced symptoms linked to autoimmune disease. Although the pig whipworm causes disease and losses in livestock, it does not cause disease in humans." The latest version of a bionic pancreas device has been successfully tested in 2 5-day clinical trials, one in adults and the other in children, that impose minimal restrictions on patient activities. A team of investigators from Boston University and Massachusetts General Hospital report the device controls blood sugar in patients with type 1 diabetes using doses of both insulin and the blood sugar-raising hormone glucagon. One of the key virtues of the device is its ability to start controlling the blood sugar instantly, based only on the patient's weight, and continually adapts its decision-making regarding insulin and glucagon dosing to handle a wide range of dosing requirements. Moreover, the device is wearable, allowing participants to stay in something close to their usual environments, exercise, and socialize. The device is also capable of practical wireless communication with a smartphone. Every 5 minutes, the smartphone receives a blood sugar reading from an attached continuous glucose monitor, which it uses to calculate and administer a dose of either insulin or glucagon. The smartphone includes an application on which the patients enter information immediately before eating. But instead of the complex calculations patients typically do to estimate their carbohydrate intake, this app only asks whether the meal consumed will be breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and whether the carbohydrate content will be typical, larger, or smaller than usual. More news updates in 60 seconds on the Superhuman Radio Network.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair. And they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937. Or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
With the rest of your news update, I'm Elliot Turton. Lower isn't necessarily better for people with high blood pressure. In a study published in JAMA Internal Medicine, researchers at Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center found that lowering systolic blood pressure below 120 does not appear to provide additional benefit for patients. The observational study found that treating low pressure doesn't provide any benefit to patients with regard to reducing risk of heart attack, heart failure, and stroke. The researchers found that among people with high blood pressure, once SBP is below 140, lowering it below 120 did not further reduce the risk of cardiovascular events. Of course, even the authors note that this study was not a clinical trial and its results need to be confirmed. Omega-3 inhibits blood vessel growth and age-related macular degeneration. Age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD, which is characterized by blood vessel growth behind the retina, is the primary cause of blindness in elderly individuals of industrialized countries. Researchers have demonstrated for the first time that the omega-3 long-chain polyunsaturated fatty acids, DHA and EPA, can influence blood vessel growth and vascular leakage by modulating microenvironmental immune cell recruitment to the site of the lesions. These omega-3s are transformed into eicosanoid, signaling molecules EEQ and EDP, which were identified as key lipid mediators of disease resolution. 10 new e-cigarette brands and over 240 new flavors appear monthly on the web. The number and type of e-cigarettes available online has soared within the past couple of years, with around 10 new brands and more than 240 new flavors coming to the market every month during this period, reveals a study published in a special supplement of Tobacco Control. The U.S. regulator, the Food and Drug Administration, has recently categorized e-cigarettes as a tobacco product, so sales to minors will be banned. But this ban does not cover the Internet, where up to half the total quantity of e-cigarettes sold is purchased. For the Superhuman Radio Network, I'm Elliot Turner.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Notice we are using the new clock that we'll be using for Genesis Communications as we endeavor deeper and deeper into our syndication process, news at top of the hour. Pretty cool stuff. We have a great show planned today. During the first hour, we'll be joined by Coach Wade Johnson to talk about the mental aspects of strength. Then later, David Jacobs is going to come on, Dr. David Jacobs, talk about eating patterns for longevity and some simple rules that perhaps we can live by. How you doing, Coach Johnson?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you again, Carl.
Yeah, this is a new schedule. Commercial breaks happen at a different time now. I'm getting used to this clock, so bear with us. So anyway, you know, I think a lot of people realize that strength is in the head. It really, really is when you think about it, because the we see so many people who should not be as strong as they are when we look at their physical stature, but yet they are so powerful. Now, a lot of that can be said, well, they can activate more muscle fibers, but that's a nervous system response, and your nervous system starts in your brain. So how much of the game really is mental aspect, do you think?
I think for a great athlete, I think the mental aspect is probably anywhere from 50, we'll be conservative there, to 75% of what their, you know, capacity is. And the reason why that is so big, I mean, think about this. If the average guy that you see that looks strong and you ask him what he bench presses and he says 405, everybody is going to go, wow, that is really strong. But for the guy that benches, you know, 600 and 700, he may not look any different, but he's gone through the processes, the thought processes of what it takes, you know, to handle that kind of weight. And that's one of the things that we've talked about before in the past is the mental preparation in the central nervous system training and conditioning, you know, to handle those kind of weights. You cannot, to be mentally prepared, you can't be fearful, you can't be thinking mechanically. You have to be able to know what to do and to execute those things in your head long before you ever do them physically.
Okay, so part of the mental aspect, obviously, is what I keep thinking of, which is like being focused and so on. But something that you pointed out to me, another part of the mental aspect comes from practice, because when you spend enough time thinking about your game plan, you can then be focused on what you're doing, right?
Right, and it's one of those things where I tell people this all the time. You'll hear me say it. You probably heard me say it on the show. You will compete in the manner in which you train, and that's why I always tell people, train in the manner that you're going to lift in. If you bench a certain way in training, that needs to be the way that you're going to do it in competition. And what the backside of that, the downside of that, is when people think that they're a game day athlete. You know, I'm going to train this much. I'm going to prepare this much because I know come game day, it's all going to come together for me. I'll be hyped up and I'll be focused and I'll make it happen. And that's where we kind of fly off the rail. You have to have that mental preparation in training. When you wake up and you know what you're going to be doing that day, you have a plan, and you go into that training session ready to execute the plan that you had ahead of time. You don't go in and freelance. You don't go in and do what's fun. You do what is necessary to help you achieve your goal. And those are the things. I mean, you're going to perform the way that you practice.
Right, right. Okay, so let's touch on some of the things that you do with yourself and your athletes when you start to discuss with them or you start working with them on the mental aspect of strength.
Well, as a coach, the thing that I have to do is, when I have a new person, we'll use that as an example. I use the first couple of weeks, we will go through the sessions, not training, but seeing what their capacities are, letting them lift weights. Let's look at form, because a lot of times one of the things that I've seen, especially here of late, is people will make these videos of this is how you should do this lift. And that's a great tool to learn with, but when you're working with someone hands-on or even online, we need to see, as coaches, we need to see what their capacities are, how they're using their leverages, and things of that nature. So I think the biggest thing with mental preparation in the beginning is if you have a coach, is you're listening to the plan, and you're executing that plan 100%, and then as a coach, you're preparing that athlete to be able to execute the form, to be able to perform the reps, to be able to do the things that are necessary to get them on the road to achieve their goals. That's kind of a long way around your question, but that's where we start. That's the biggest thing, where we take the thought process as coaches out of the lifter's hands, where their job becomes to execute the plan versus thinking mechanically about what they're having to do.
What about the aspect of overtraining for a minute? This can obviously impair somebody's mental aspect of strength. If they are starting to overtrain, we know some of the earlier signs of overtraining is, you know, reluctance to even want to go to the gym. You start worrying. You cannot be your strongest. I'm experiencing this right now. For the first time in a long time, I walked out of the gym today feeling like King Kong. And that's the only way I can explain it. But whenever I'm dialed into my body, when I'm training hard, training heavy, but giving myself adequate time off and enjoying life at the same time, my workouts, when I leave, instead of feeling crushed into the ground, I feel energized. What about when an athlete starts pushing themselves too hard and they start anticipating these hard workouts, they start worrying about them? I can't believe that they can be as strong as they want to be when your mind is worrying already about this workout.
Well, I agree with that 100%. That's one of those things where you have to, again, when I take on someone new, we always err on the side of being conservative, because session after session, and especially training to be a competitive athlete, you have to make sure everything is on point. And it's not just the training sessions or making sure they don't do too much or making sure that they do enough. Nutrition comes into play, hydration, you know, are you able to rest? You know, what are all the outside effects as well? I had this conversation with someone yesterday in the gym, and if someone's going through something relationship-wise or work is, you know, the guy worked 76 hours last week, and the day before he's got a heavy squat, he works 16 hours. Well, exactly, you know, what can you expect out of the next session? You go in hoping for the best. So as a coach, I really have to temper, you know, the exuberance. And again, this I'm jumping around a little bit, but hopefully this is making sense. One of the things that Louis Simmons and I spoke about, athletes that really want to do this, whether it be strength or basketball or whatever, it's never an issue of if they will work hard enough. That's never the issue. My competitive lifters, they will do the work. It's will they work smart enough? And that's where it really comes into play. Some of the typical things that I see, and one of my one of my guys in the morning said this the other day. He knows when he's pushing his luck when he starts having trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
When the typical work day, the typical workload of a good, strong session, and then when, at night, he is not sleeping soundly, he knows that he's pushing the threshold. So we try to, with the method that we use, is be very reactive, you know, and try to catch those things on the front end. And like right now with the way the heat is, it's unseasonably hot. It is June, and I realize it's summer, but mid-90 temperatures in the south, we're usually into July or August before we see heat like that, and the humidity is sky high. So
I just want to mention something. We have to take a break. These are all hard breaks nowadays. We will have Coach Johnson's reactive wave training protocol available in an ebook very shortly. Alex Leaf has already edited it. And we just have some final work to do on that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
Monsanto is kind of like the head of the serpent.
The battle cry against Monsanto is being broadcast.
But I've said that separating government from that industry is like trying to separate Siamese twins or conjoined twins who share a heart. You have to make a decision which is going to live and which is going to die. There's no easy way to separate.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore, weekdays at noon.
Train harder, train longer, recover faster, and elevate protein synthesis. It's finally here, Splice, with branched-chain amino acids, taurine, and trimethylglycine. You'll blast through your workouts without the need for stimulants, and the alpha-lactalbumin ensures your workouts will be the most productive because nothing accelerates muscle growth faster. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Predator Nutrition banner ad and use the coupon code SPLYCE10 to save 10% off today.
By now, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of dairy, but as we all know, not all dairy is created equal. Learn more about a form of dairy made available to us that is raw, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, low-heat pasteurized, and cultured with probiotics, without the offensive beta-casein protein believed to be 13 times more toxic than gluten. Check out superhumandairy.com to learn more, or go to superhumanradio.com and click the green-fed dairy banner ad today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first six-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson. We're talking about the mental aspect of strength. It's a lot more than you think it is. Coach, what about the hype? You know, you see a lot of these guys screaming at each other, banging each other on the back of the head, you know, come on, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And even the music that's played sometimes at powerlifting events, you know, really energizing metal, heavy metal, grunge metal. Is that stuff really necessary, or you think that's a distraction?
I think it depends on the lifter. For us, when we're training, we have music playing, and I think it's one of those things that allows people, and again, we train so early in the morning, but I think it's one of those things that allows the lifter, the music starts playing, it kind of gets the juices flowing, that kind of thing. The yelling by the training partners, I think, you know, when your training partners are giving you cues and things, they know what your issues are. They know what your tendencies are. And I've always, you know, gotten a lift, I think, when a crowd of people are cheering for you. Most of the times when I've hit my biggest lifts, I don't hear anything. It never looks the way the video shows it looks. It never feels the same. So it's one of those things. I think it really depends on the lifter, but I think that kind of stimulation is good. Now, the lifters that are doing all the screaming as they're going up to the platform and stuff, I try to keep that in check. The problem is you want to save everything about the lift is about that one giant explosive burst of power. You know, you train for weeks upon weeks, you know, and some of us for years and years to hit a certain lift, and everything has to be right for about 10 seconds. That's all that training goes into about a 10-second lift. So for me, for the mental aspect, people yelling at me and people yelling cues, that all seems to be a positive. The more I can serve my energy for the lift and remain calm, because for me, being calm allows me to be very focused. There's other people that I've seen lift incredible amounts of weight that are screaming the whole time. I don't know how they do it. And then maintain their focus, because there's so much energy expelled, you know, to bang your head against the bar or yell and those.
But
types of things.
But you think that's more effective with, okay, so when you have athletes that have been doing this for a long time and Virtue's a newcomer, somebody who's maybe this is their first or second meet, I tend to think that, okay, so one of the things you said to me once, you know, I was planning on coming to one of your meets and you said, you know, you probably won't see me because you're so narrowly focused on what's going on, even to the point that when you get under the bar, you don't even, there are only certain voices that you filter in and you can hear because nobody, you can't hear anybody else. Do you think that all that yelling is actually effective for a lifter like yourself, a lifter that is seasoned, because their barrier of sound is so heightened that you have to yell to like reach them, where the newbie hears everything, they're freaking out up there.
Right. Yeah, I think there's a lot of validity to that. I think in training you learn what that lifter's going to respond to, and you know, I think again, having the music, you know, having, especially when you hear the familiar voices that are screaming for you and cheering for you and stuff like that, I think those things are a positive. I'll be quite honest, when I did my first Olympic lifting meet, they had music playing. Now, it wasn't very aggressive. It was kind of unnerving for me because I'm so accustomed, like, with strongman and training and powerlifting, where, you know, the nastier and gnarlier the music is, apparently the better it is.
Right.
And you get accustomed to those things. It's conditioned. And so they had a different type of music playing, and then when it came time for the lifter, when he approached the platform, my first attempt, the sound goes to silence, and the crowd is really quiet. So for me, that was really unnerving. But for the people that are accustomed to it, I'm sure it was fine. So
wait a minute. It went to silent by choice, or because you didn't give them any music, or why did it go to silent?
No. That's what I've seen video like this to where not all Olympic lifting meet, but they pull the music down. So I assume, I didn't really ask, so the lifter can focus. So there's no distraction. And so I thought that was really interesting, you know, especially at that point, it was my first meet. So I was a newbie, even though I had, you know, competed in strength sports, you know, numerous times. This was my first Olympic lifting meet, and so that was a little unnerving. So I think it I think a lot of it has to do with what we're conditioned by. You know, do we play this music when we train?
That I can see, because you've talked to me about ritual before. So if you've trained right. with a song and you've done some great lifts with a song, then having that song playing at a meet will create a familiar environment for you where you kind of tap into the ritual of it, right?
I completely agree with that. Absolutely. There are times where we'll prepare either a CD or we will have a MP3 player that, you know, we can go to the meet director and go, can we play this? You know, and a lot of times they're more than happy to do it. But yeah, those again, making this goes back to the whole mental thing of you're going to train how you compete and vice versa. They're very synonymous. And so when you have things like that are familiar, it has a huge impact. In this case, you know, I'm hearing something that is familiar, not just the voices of my teammates or my coach, but of the music that I train by. Because there's a lot of times I've told the guys, bring whatever music you want so we have it to train with. I don't care what it is. It can be whatever you want it to be. And 9 times out of 10, they just turn the CDs. We've had the same CDs in our CD player, I don't know, for several years now. Every now and then somebody brings something new. That's just what they're conditioned to. So I always make sure that we have that music available to them.
It's funny. Something weird that I do, I actually will get locked onto a single song and repeat that song on my MP3 player and play that entire song over and over again for my entire – I did it today for my entire lifting session.
Yeah, there are things –
It's almost zen-like for me, you know what I mean?
Right. It's one of the it's something that gets me rolling, something that makes me feel aggressive or energized. I mean, to the point that my gym is painted as two certain colors. It's red and yellow. You know, go look it up. Those are the colors of aggression.
Right. Right. You know, pink makes you weak. Did you read that one? Pink makes you weak.
There's not pink in that gym.
No, I know. I'm just saying. But if you're competing, you should wear pink clothes. All your competitors have to look at it. They'll get weak watching you lift. As long as you don't look at yourself in a mirror. Don't look at yourself in a mirror. That's all. But I want you to go ahead and plug your websites real quick before we go into this next break. For people who want to reach out to you and maybe they need some distance coaching, you can provide them with those services. How can they reach you?
You can reach us at weightliftingdiscussion.com. There is a forum on there. You do have to create a profile, which is basically selecting a name and a password, and then you'll have to have a secret password. Wade's secret password is Ogre, O-G-R-E. And so that will help you complete your profile, and you're welcome to post there. I have a Facebook page, and the Ogre Compound has a Facebook page, and you can always reach me at supersquat800@yahoo.com.
Now, and we've been bugging Wade to get that email address for a long time changed to supersquat. What was it? What'd you squat? 1,040?
1040.
Super squat 1040. But for some reason, he won't give up that super squat 800. I don't know why. You should have it forward.
Can't do 1040 anymore.
No. Well, but you did it. You did it. Yeah, I know you can do 800 still, so that's good. I get it. I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about something that people think, that if they believe they can do something, that they can. There may be some truth to that. But I think you really have to own it deep down inside. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick it up on the other side. We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson. This is the Get Strong Show. Right now we're talking about the mental aspect of being strong. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's exposing the man behind the curtain in the organic discussion.
Whole Foods is getting prepared for this onslaught of new customers by finding ways to fool them into buying things that aren't organic, thinking that they are, which is the way they led into the industry. Back in the day when people remember Whole Foods, there were people that were going in there and going, oh, well, this is all organic. I bought it at Whole Foods. Oh, no. They do sell conventional stuff there. They do? Yeah.
Exposing the myths in our grocery stores.
And then Whole Foods started labeling it more clearly what was organic and what was conventional. But there was a whole period of time where people were buying what they thought was organic when it wasn't. And they were charging more. Whole Foods prices was a conventionally grown produce, similar price to what other stores were selling organic, and that made it even more confusing for the consumer. They thought, well, how can it be? I just paid $3.45 for a pound of apples.
That's what that store sells, organic. You're telling me I bought conventional apples? Yep, you did.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling, specifically designed to transform your physique in record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad. Train harder, train longer, recover faster, and elevate protein synthesis. It's finally here, Splice, with branched-chain amino acids, taurine, and trimethylglycine. You'll blast through your workouts without the need for stimulants, and the alpha-lactalbumin ensures your workouts will be the most productive because nothing accelerates muscle growth faster. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Predator Nutrition banner ad and use the coupon code SPLYCE10 to save 10% off today. In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today. Scientists around the world confirm the vital importance of redox signaling to cell health. ASEA is the first and only stable, perfectly balanced mixture of these redox signaling reactive molecules that exist outside of living cells and can be used to help maintain proper balance inside the body to support the immune system, recovery, and the healing process. To learn more about ASEA and what it can do for you, go to superhumanradio.com and click the ASEA banner ad today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson right now. This is the Get Strong Show. We're talking about the mental aspect of strength later. Dr. David Jacobs is going to talk about meal patterns that actually affect longevity. What do you think, Wade? Is it enough just to believe that you can lift something to lift it? I don't think so. I mean, I know a lot of people buy into that, but
no, I mean, you have to believe it. To achieve it, you got to believe it. You know, that's one of the cliches out there, believe to achieve. And that's something that I do firmly believe in, but you have to do all the things on the front end. You know, it's like me having a goal to squat 1,000 pounds someday when I had just broken 600 pounds. You have to believe in the capacity to do the work that is necessary to get you to each step along the way to help you achieve that lifetime goal. But one of the things that I did, and hopefully this coincides with what you're saying, is the aspect of visualization. And that for me was something when I was training and preparing myself to squat 1,000 pounds, like each night before I went to sleep, I'd lay down and just kind of simmer myself down, and I would go through the steps. You know, I knew how I was going to set up. I knew what the weight looked like because I trained with the same equipment. And so when it came time for me to do it at the meet, nothing seemed to be out of place. You know, I had the people there that I trained with. The same people were wrapping my knees at the meet that wrapped my knees when I trained. Everything, nothing felt out of place. So it took all those things to build. They were the building blocks, so to speak, of being able to believe that I could actually do something. Just because you say you can do it or believe you can do it doesn't necessarily mean anything. You do have to have that ability to have faith and that ability to believe in yourself. But you have to take the steps on the front end with all the hard work and everything else to be prepared to do those things.
You know what's funny? What I've learned about some of the most elite lifters, including yourself, is exactly that. They invest a lot of credibility into both visualization and hypnotism. I'm sure you know some elite athletes that subscribe to hypnotism. When I had Mike Miller on the show many, many years ago, after he squatted, I want to say 1220, I think, in a full meet. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't remember. I know he hit the 1200 mark, yeah.
Yeah, and so we talked about that, and the remarkable thing about that event, by the way, was that it was a full meet. He did a push-pull and a squat. But he said that when he started to get above 1,000 pounds in his squat, he started working with a hypnotist because, look, you know, we just assume that these guys that are doing this are like in their head, I can do this. But they're just like us. They have moments of doubt. They have moments of concern. They're human. They have children. They don't want to blow a body part out that's going to affect them for the rest of their lives. So there's a lot of angst. There's a lot of worry. There's a lot, you know. And so Mike started seeing a hypnotist, and he said that hypnotist made such a big difference for him because when he started to get close to 1,200, and even when he got to 1,200 and slightly above, the hypnotism was the thing that allowed him to kind of stay. He was better at being focused when he was under the weight. He wasn't as worried because the hypnotist worked with him to, you know, endow him with the trust that, hey, you've done the work. You've done everything you need to do to get to this point. You know, you can do this. And so one of the things I've learned, and there's other strength athletes out there that I know that believe in visualization, guided visualization, and hypnotism. So this is something right there that shows you that the most elite of the elite, they understand, they get it, that the mind is a big player in this endeavor.
Well, and it's crucial. For me, it was everything. I never went the route of a hypnotist, but I was always doing things to find a way to reinforce what the goal was or what I needed to do to achieve my goal. For years, I had in my office at work 1,000-pound squat, 700 bench press, 700 deadlift, 2,400-pound total. It was in the gym. It was in my office at home. There wasn't a day that went by until I achieved that goal, and I did not see that. And everything that I did when I would plan long before I hit 2,400, when I was trying to break 2,100, these are the things that I have to do, and I had a plan for every session. I never went into a session going, well, what am I going to do today? That was already thought out in advance. That was already planned. So everything I did was getting me a step closer. And every day I would see those reminders. Every day I would review my videos of the lifts going, okay, that's, if I do these things, look at how this weight moves. Because a lot of times how you feel when you're lifting is a lot different than what the video shows you. That you know, there's a lot of times where I was like, oh my God, that felt so heavy. And then you see when you execute, the weight just flies up, whether it be a squat or a bench press or what have you. So I always use those videos as a tool, not only to dissect my form and find any issues or see what I was doing right, but again, positive reinforcement. If I squatted 910 for a triple, you know, with X amount of gear, then that would equate into this much weight, you know, with full gear, those types of things. So I was always doing things, always seeing visual things that would remind me, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what we're working on. This is the goal. This is the dangling carrot. You have to do these things to make that happen. So I never went the route of hypnosis, but I did go the route of a lot of visualization and a lot of visual reminders of what the task at hand was supposed to be.
I want to mention something before we go into the break, and then when we come back, I want to talk about the recent U.S. APL event that you attended. I got myself a Fitbit, right? And so I've been watching how many steps I take and how active I am. You got to be careful with this Fitbit when you train with the intensity that we train with this in this studio and this audience, I'm sorry, and in the studio. You know, my Fitbit says I took 4,300 steps so far today and the calories burned and blah, blah, blah. But what my Fitbit doesn't show is that I moved over 80,000 pounds today on my leg day. And for those of us who train with intensity, be careful not to become a slave to your Fitbit, because if I try to keep up the activity levels that my Fitbit wants today after that training session, I probably won't progress. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because what you said before, we were talking about overtraining and a guy who's working. You know, these Fitbits are wonderful for average people, but for those of us within the superhuman nation, we may not need to hit all 10,000 steps every single day because of the type of intensity that we are garnering in the gym. You want to speak to that real quick, Wade?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. Remember, a lot of these things out there are a tool. And it's just like the numbers that I give my lifters. This gives us a plan. This gives us routine. This gives us something to visualize of what our workload needs to be to achieve a certain point. I'll give you a classic example. This is a little different than what you're talking about, but it really speaks to what goes on. You know, you have a plan. You've got your supplements in order. You're drinking your water and you're doing everything right in the gym. But, you know, what about the guy or girl whose spouse is up their fanny all day long and you ate a bologna sandwich and you worked a 13-hour shift? You know, that's going to have a detrimental effect. So the same thing with these apps and things of those nature. They're a great tool to kind of track where you are. But when you become a slave to them, you know, then we start the degradation starts. We start taking away from what we're really trying to achieve.
I don't think I need 10,000 steps today because this Fitbit didn't see what I did today between the power squats, hip thrusts, and leg presses. You know what I mean?
Well, there's a lot of difference between taking 10,000 steps and squatting 500 pounds for 30 reps over, you know, a leg session. So the output is going to be completely different. I'm about to open Pandora's box because I can hear you screeching when I say this. It's like the 2,000 calorie diet. Well, that's great for the guy that gets up in the morning, drinks
right.
A pot of coffee, reads the paper, and he goes to work for his 8-hour shift. He comes home and he puts his feet up. 2,000 calories is probably more than plenty. You know, 2,000 calories wouldn't get us through half of the day.
Oh, no, no. And wait, we have to go into a break here. These are the new hard breaks that I have to take for GCN. Keep that thought. Hold that thought. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Your destination for the latest in health information. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
The UK is known for its queen, Big Ben, and fish and chips. Well, move over. Here's the UK's strongest pro hormone, Extreme Mass. Extreme Mass will give you a significant amount of muscle and strength, gains of up to 10 kilograms in a 4-week cycle. You'll see an increase in libido, vascularity, and aggression. Shatter your personal bests in the gym while on Extreme Mass. Save 10% off. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Extreme Mass banner and use coupon code MASS10. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin-releasing hormone. That, in turn, turbocharges how much testosterone you can make in a clinical trial. This resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N labs.com.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, immaculate.
We started dancing and welcome back. So this is the way the show is going to roll for Genesis Communications. The way the breaks and the segments run, they're a little tighter. Things are a little tighter. I can't be sloppy and kind of run long if I want to. Because once we're syndicated and we go out over their network, we have to fall into a uniform time format that all the different radio stations that pick us up will be able to follow. So it's taking a little learning. I apologize for... the clumsiness of what I'm doing, but we'll get it better, I promise you. Anyway, let's talk about this recent event that you were at, and I think Melissa lifted at it as well, right?
Well, Melissa didn't lift at USAPL Nationals. I wasn't actually at USAPL Nationals. One of the guys that I coach and trains at the Ogre Compound competed at USAPL Nationals and placed fifth. And a lot of people, I think, would be disappointed with fifth, and I haven't spoken directly to Nathan other than some messages that, you know, he enjoyed the meet and it was a big challenge. And the USAPL Nationals is the American national event to qualify for IPF Worlds. And that's probably one of the most prestigious titles that you could win in strength sports. It would be the equivalent of World's Strongest Man or winning the Olympics, in my opinion.
Right.
Even though it's not something that I lived in, there's no question that the IPF is probably the pinnacle of powerlifting.
So just being on that platform and lifting means that you've achieved a great deal.
It's a big, because you have to, not only do you have to qualify, you know, a lot of events, and I think it's a fine way to qualify for events, is you're placing, you know, at a local meet or a state meet or even a regional meet. And with USAPL Nationals, you have to hit a certain qualifying total. You have to be able to achieve a certain level. So it's just winning your class is not enough. So it's very tough. They weigh in 2 hours before the event. There's not an early weigh-in. And that what they do is when they run the weight class, they don't do it where you have three or four flights of lifters. You have, I think there was 19 competitors in Nathan's weight class. And so they had a A flight and a B flight. So they do that weight class, does the entire meet. They do the squats. They get a 5-minute break while they're warming up and changing the platform. They go right into bench press, again, change the platform, and then deadlift. So Melissa and I were in Gatlinburg, started lifting. They started lifting at 9 o'clock. At roughly 10:15, they were done with squats. So 19 lifters squatted.
Wow.
Completely. All three attempts. So then you have a 5-minute break while they, you know, get the platform ready, and they started bench pressing. So the pace of the meet is sky high. They run the clock, and it is very, very strict. So there is not a lot of time. You have to, you know, it's not like making weight and weighing in on Friday. Now, I'm not diminishing, you know, other meets. I mean, I lived in those federations.
Right.
What I'm saying is it is just extremely, extremely tough. So getting there in and of itself is an achievement. To place fifth, and Nathan clearly did not have the day that he wanted to have, but to place fifth at an event like that is extremely a big achievement. So I wanted to, you know, give him a shout out. And he trains where most of the lifters are either raw or someone like myself. When I lift in gear, it's usually multi-ply. And with this, it's single ply. It's a single ply shirt, a single ply suit, no briefs, 2-meter wraps. You have to, you have to squat well below parallel. There's no close squats. You either break it convincingly or they will red light it. Whether you agree with it or not is not relevant. That's just the way that they do it.
Right.
And the lifts have to be, you know, pristine. So it's a whole different ball game. So, you know, the challenge for me has been, you know, being able to work within the confines of what he is allowed to compete with. So, good result, not the result that he wanted. I'm sure he's going to come back.
Do you know? Did I miss it? Did you tell me what his totals were?
It was in kilos. I want to say that he totaled 835, and I want to say right off the top of my head, doing the math real quick, that's roughly 1840.
That's not shabby at all.
No. In that kind of meet, you know, it's a very good total. I think his weight class is the 230. Traditional is 220 to 242. Those are the two weight classes, and they changed their weight classes a little bit. That's another story for another time. That gets long and involved with the politics of powerlifting and trying to be involved in the Olympics and everything else. But Nathan here from the Ogre Compound. Here's the beauty of it. Nathan is originally from Egypt, and so it's kind of a neat mix of cultures. And but at the end of the day, he's a lifter, and so it was really cool for him to be here with us and train for the past year, and he'll continue training, and to do something that is so dramatically different from the rest of us, and to do so well. And then wanted to bring up Melissa that we talked about when she was on the show, was training for an Olympic lifting meet, her first one, because she had competed in April at the women's pro meet that we've talked about, and then not this past weekend, but the weekend before, competed and hit 100 kilo total, which I'll be honest, surprised me a little bit with everything that has been going on with her, especially the training of a powerlifting meet, then competing and then switching gears. Now, she maintained her powerlifting training and has continued setting PRs and training, but was also training for an Olympic lifting meet, so the output was sky high. And then remember, she's a nurse, so she's just changed jobs, just moved, you know, which is not stressful enough as it
right.
is. You know,
right.
now we're doing a meet, but she totaled 100 kilos, snatched 43 kilos, and clean and jerk 57 kilos. Went 6 for 6, real smooth day, and clearly has a lot left in the tank. Qualified for Masters Pan Ams, hit the qualifying total for Masters Worlds. I think with the timeline, she will have to requalify for Worlds, but you know, based on how her training is already going, I don't, barring an injury, I don't foresee that being an issue. She should lift in another Olympic meet later on this fall.
What about you, Coach? What are you up to? Are you preparing for anything right now?
I have been fighting the injury from the meet that I did back in March, where it's such a bizarre injury. I hurt my left shoulder squatting. And it was one of those things where it was just bothersome getting done with the meet. And as I was preparing to do the same meet that Melissa was doing, because it was in such close proximity, and the further I got into it, the more the shoulder became an issue. So right now, I'm training, but I'm not pushing my numbers. I'm not really training. I'm training, but not training for an event right now, trying to get these injuries that I – there was two, the knee and the glute and right. IT band from prior to the meet. And just the weird – again, I injured the shoulder squatting of all things because I had to – put my hand placement had to be different due to the monolith, which I didn't foresee being an issue, and I felt it when it happened, but it didn't seem to be a big deal. But once the meet was over, it had progressively week to week as I was trying to ramp up my training. So I've had the past 4 to 6 weeks, I really had to pull back. I was able to bench 405 with a long pause this morning, So it's not like I can't train at all, but I can't do a bunch of reps or anything like that to condition myself because it just hurts too bad. So,
it's interesting. Right, Elisa hurt her shoulder and she's complaining, because she can't really train the way she wants to. Shoulder injuries really are hard to work around. They really, really are. Even if you're not training necessarily like, say, chest, it's hard to train back when you have a shoulder injury.
I have that issue. I have to heat up my shoulders the same for when I squat as when I, prepare to bench. It is that nagging of an injury because the shoulder's activated. If you grip it in some form or another, you were saying lats. I have a plate loaded pull down that we use, and I usually start a session, warming up with 50 pounds for 20 reps just to get some blood flowing. And I can feel the shoulder. There's nothing other than deadlifting. For whatever reason, deadlifting does not bother my shoulder. I have no idea why. I haven't at this point had, given in and gone, okay, I'm going to have to go get this looked at. In my career, I've probably gone – I had my foot x-rayed just to make sure it didn't need surgery when I broke it. And then I had my arms looked at when I strained the lateral ligaments and the bicep tendons in both arms. And, that was the extent of it. I had this, if it persists and doesn't show improvement, I will probably have to break down and have it looked at.
Let's go ahead and give your websites again before we sign off on this particular portion of the episode. So if people want to reach out to you, if they need a coach, they want to start training for greater strength, how can they reach you?
You can always reach me on my email address, supersquat800@yahoo.com. I have a personal Facebook page, and the Ogre Compound, which is the gym, has a Facebook page. You can go to weightliftingdiscussion.com, and there is a forum there. And again, you will have to create a profile. You'll have to have a username, a password, and then Wade's secret password is Ogre, O-G-R-E. Man. And that we had to do that just so it would cut down the spam.
Spam is a big problem when you have a forum. Coach Johnson, right. Thanks so much for being on the show today, brother. See you soon, okay?
All right. Always good to be with you, Carl.
Okay. All right, so stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. David Jacobs about food patterns and longevity. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We shall return.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on Superhuman.com.
SuperHumanRadio.com for a free brochure.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
With the Superhuman Radio News Update, I'm Elliot Turton. Parasitic worms in pigs could provide new treatments in human diseases. New treatments for inflammatory bowel disease, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, diabetes, and autism could be on the horizon. After a global study involving 11 institutions in 6 countries led by the University of Melbourne successfully mapped out the genes in a parasitic worm in pigs. Lead researcher Dr. Aaron Jek said, "We know that humans infected with the harmless pig whipworm can have significantly reduced symptoms linked to autoimmune disease. Although the pig whipworm causes disease and losses in livestock, it does not cause disease in humans." The latest version of a bionic pancreas device has been successfully tested in 2 5-day clinical trials, one in adults and the other in children, that impose minimal restrictions on patient activities. A team of investigators from Boston University and Massachusetts General Hospital report the device controls blood sugar in patients with type 1 diabetes using doses of both insulin and the blood sugar-raising hormone glucagon. One of the key virtues of the device is its ability to start controlling the blood sugar instantly, based only on the patient's weight, and continually adapts its decision-making regarding insulin and glucagon dosing to handle a wide range of dosing requirements. Moreover, the device is wearable, allowing participants to stay in something close to their usual environments, exercise, and socialize. The device is also capable of practical wireless communication with a smartphone. Every 5 minutes, the smartphone receives a blood sugar reading from an attached continuous glucose monitor, which it uses to calculate and administer a dose of either insulin or glucagon. The smartphone includes an application on which the patients enter information immediately before eating. But instead of the complex calculations patients typically do to estimate their carbohydrate intake, this app only asks whether the meal consumed will be breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and whether the carbohydrate content will be typical, larger, or smaller than usual. More news updates in 60 seconds. On the Superhuman Radio Network.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. Scientists around the world confirm the vital importance of redox signaling to cell health. ASEA is the first and only stable, perfectly balanced mixture of these redox signaling reactive molecules that exist outside of living cells and can be used to help maintain proper balance inside the body to support the immune system, recovery, and the healing process. To learn more about ASEA and what it can do for you, go to superhumanradio.com and click the ASEA banner ad today.
With the rest of your news update, I'm Elliot Turton. Lower isn't necessarily better for people with high blood pressure. In a study published in JAMA Internal Medicine, researchers at Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center found that lowering systolic blood pressure below 120 does not appear to provide additional benefit for patients. The observational study found that treating low pressure doesn't provide any benefit to patients with regard to reducing risk of heart attack, heart failure, and stroke.
The researchers found that among people with high blood pressure, once SBP is below 140, lowering it below 120 did not further reduce the risk of cardiovascular events. Of course, even the authors note that this study was not a clinical trial and its results need to be confirmed. Omega-3 inhibits blood vessel growth and age-related macular degeneration. Age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD, which is characterized by blood vessel growth behind the retina, is the primary cause of blindness in elderly individuals of industrialized countries. Researchers have demonstrated for the first time that the omega-3 long-chain polyunsaturated fatty acids, DHA and EPA, can influence blood vessel growth and vascular leakage by modulating microenvironmental immune cell recruitment to the site of the lesions. These omega-3s are transformed into eicosanoid, signaling molecules EEQ and EDP, which were identified as key lipid mediators of disease resolution. 10 new e-cigarette brands and over 240 new flavors appear monthly on the web. The number and type of e-cigarettes available online has soared within the past couple of years, with around 10 new brands and more than 240 new flavors coming to the market every month during this period, reveals a study published in a special supplement of Tobacco Control. The U.S. regulator, the Food and Drug Administration, has recently categorized e-cigarettes as a tobacco product, so sales to minors will be banned. But this ban does not cover the Internet, where up to half the total quantity of e-cigarettes sold is purchased. For the Superhuman Radio Network, I'm Elliot Turner.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. Hope you like the news at the top of the hour. You can thank our news director, Alex Leaf, and our anchor person, Elliot Turton. Okay. We know that diet plays a role in longevity, along with activity or inactivity, for that matter. We're being joined by a returning guest, Dr. David Jacobs. How are you doing, Dr. Jacobs?
Very well, thank you.
And we want to talk about diet patterns and longevity. Do simple rules suffice? Now, this is a commentary, right? A review of literature that's out there already, correct?
Yes, for the most part. There's a little bit of new stuff, but mostly review.
Okay. So what made you want to even do this?
Well, I've been, for the past 10 years or so, I've been investigating diet from a holistic perspective and keep thinking about it. I was invited to lecture at the 6th International Conference on Vegetarian Nutrition in February of 2013, and now the paper from that talk was just published.
So, when we look at food in this country, at least, we look at specific nutrients in a vacuum almost. We don't take into account the synergistic effects of some of the other co-nutrients in that food. This is actually played out in pharmaceutical trials where they've located what they thought was an active constituent of something that controls something. So they isolate it or synthesize it, but it doesn't act the same way when you use it in the whole food form. Have we outgrown this way of looking at food?
So let me just start here with the model for drugs or pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
There's something, you have a headache, and you would like to block whatever pathway it is that's causing the headache. It turns out that aspirin, for example, is quite suited for that. That's fixing one thing that's gone wrong. Food, on the other hand, is maintaining a harmonious body with literally billions of different systems all going along simultaneously. So the tasks of drugs and food are different.
Okay.
So the custom that grew out of the discovery in the 1930s through 1950s and 60s of deficiency diseases really led people to be very proud of themselves for those singular findings,
mm-hmm.
and to think that really food and drugs could be considered with the same model, that we could look at, for example, vitamin A, and we could fix a vitamin A deficiency by providing more vitamin A. So I would say we should have outgrown that because the model doesn't seem to work very well for people who generally have enough food. We may very well have too much food, in fact. And they should be talking about foods rather than nutrients.
Is this not the focus of a new emerging scientific field? And I may pronounce it incorrectly. You could correct me. Metabolomics, where they are looking at what happens when you eat foods and they are metabolized, as opposed to looking for one endpoint of one thing. They look at everything.
Yeah. I say metabolomics, but this is such an uncommonly used word that who knows what the right way is to say it. This field of inquiry tries to look at many things at once, and in that way is still reductionist. It's trying mm-hmm. to find simple answers to very complicated mm-hmm. problems, and it could conceivably think of multiple constituents all at once. So it's interesting to me as a scientist who tries to take things apart. But I think that as far as the question, what should we eat, goes, the much more important thing is the package, which is every food, and then the package of foods that we eat in dietary patterns. All of us have certain foods that we like. We cycle through different foods. We avoid other foods, and this creates patterns which are detectable reliably in studies.
So what patterns have played out to show promise in the area of health and longevity?
Well, the best known pattern would be the Mediterranean diet, which is a little bit of a misnomer because there's many diets in the Mediterranean.
Right.
And so it's not really a geographically located diet. But there's a variety of diets that are in the Mediterranean. And then there are a variety of diets that have proven otherwise to be good, either in observational studies that they are they're predictive of better outcomes. In other words, less chronic disease occurrence in people who more closely adhere to the patterns. There's also other cuisines. In a certain way, cuisine and dietary pattern mm-hmm. are similar words.
Okay.
There are other cuisines in the world which have seemed to be better for certain chronic diseases. Maybe at the same time, they're not as good for other chronic diseases. So there's a lot of information out there about what's good, and there's also a fair amount of information about what's not good.
Is the American diet one of those cuisines that's good?
Well, the American diet, of course, is all different kinds of cuisines, but there are segments of the American population that are eating in ways that probably promote chronic disease.
So what about eating patterns like those of the Hunza, with their lacto-vegetarians, where the only protein, I shouldn't say only protein, The only animal protein they get is from dairy. Are these good eating patterns?
The central feature of these patterns that seem to work out well are is plant-centered.
Mm-hmm.
And plant-centered in such a way that the nutrients have not been ruined or eliminated
right.
by processing. So lacto-ovo vegetarians do rather well in chronic disease. And in that sense, you would say that it seems to have some merit. Vegans have to worry about especially vitamin B12 deficiency.
Right.
And here's where it is worthwhile to talk about nutrients, because not getting any animal products, they tend to be low on vitamin B12, and
right.
they many of them take a tablet, which a supplement, which is effectively a drug to combat that. The lacto-ovo-vegetarian diet seems to combat that,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
It seems to be sufficient. But I say in the paper that that we just published that it's probably not the absence of or the complete absence of animal food that is important, but rather the presence of a wide variety of these plant foods that are high in phytochemicals.
Right.
The word phytochemical just meaning phyto means plant, so something found in a plant.
And so and it seems that that's when we look at, you know, unfortunately, the paleo diet has been painted with a zealot paintbrush, depending on what day of the week it is. But a more ancestral diet, like the one that Dr. Lauren Cordain ascribes to, is high in vegetables, you know, legumes, all of the things that you're pointing out are good, with the inclusion of animal proteins, without discriminating. Fish, chicken, beef, dairy, eggs, and so on. But yet, we don't see a lot of people really taking this diet seriously. We have just a minute before we go into the break. Why is that?
Well, it's very difficult for the public to sort out different diets that are promoted, some of which are fad diets and some of which are more based in at least observation. I think that there is some merit in the paleo diet, but the complete absence of grains is would make it difficult for some people. I would still be focused on eating a relatively small amount of meat.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that when we come back from the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Super Human Radio. We're talking with Dr. David Jacobs. We're talking about diet patterns and their effect on longevity. We'll be right back.
Carl Lenore.
The FDA has exceeded all of its previous levels of being sinister and corrupt by trying to poison this country by forcing us to eat genetically modified foods without knowing they're GMO foods while trying to obstruct our access to natural foods that are grown right in our hometown.
Empowering the people and telling it like it is.
They're corrupt, they're sinister, they're disgusting. And we're never going to have a politician with any real chutzpah to stop the FDA. That's the sad part. So we have to stop them ourselves. By the pressure has to push back. Keep supporting your family farm.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use AuraMD. AuraMD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of AuraMD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the AuraMD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but AuraMD, and neither should you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wise Choice Medicine. CanSeeMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
By now, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of dairy. But as we all know, not all dairy is created equal. Learn more about a form of dairy made available to us that is raw, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, low-heat pasteurized, and cultured with probiotics, without the offensive beta-casein protein believed to be 13 times more toxic than gluten. Check out SuperhumanDairy.com to learn more, or go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the green-fed dairy banner ad today.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first six-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today. The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat? The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. David Jacobs about diet patterns and longevity. So Alex Leaf, who set up this interview with you, also forwarded yourself and myself something about Brazil changing their guidelines for nutrition. The Brazilian division that's similar to that of, let's say, the Food and Drug Administration has created new guidelines. Did you have a chance to look at that?
I haven't actually been able to look at the Brazilian guidelines, but I was told that they are based on foods rather than on nutrients.
Yeah, yeah. So, that, I mean, obviously some countries are starting to get this. And then, so in a perfect world, what would our food labels look like? Or would it even matter at that point in time?
You know, that's it's an interesting question about where exactly we would go. I guess one thing I could say is that I see a big cycle of effectively of misinformation or misdirection, and that arises in part from an overemphasis on nutrients. And the result is that there's a lot of finger-pointing. So the sectors would be a government, which would be promulgating rules. You were talking about USDA, Department of Agriculture,
right.
Behind the American Dietary Guidelines, for example. Academics such as myself providing whatever information we have. And people in the public, which would include the people who are promoting one style of eating or another, and industry. So in the past 20 years, there's been a message to eat less fat, which seems not to have been correct. And an industry had to respond to that to stay in business. And when you look at the whole cycle, industry really we get our food from industry. There are very few of us who are eating subsistence foods or eating even more than a few tomatoes out of our gardens. So the question is, what is industry supposed to do? And they did what they are supposed to do. They kept providing food to us, and they kept making money. And they kept listening to policy and then making foods that that adhere to those policies. And so there are some people who are pointing at industry and saying, well, industry filled in response to the low-fat message, which perhaps was wrong. Industry filled us up with all kinds of carbohydrate
alternatives, food. Yeah.
And so they filled us up through food technology with things that sort of have the same mouthfeel as fat and would be acceptable and would sell. So they did do that. There's not any question about that. But we didn't give them very good guidance, and we don't like it when industry doesn't do well, because then we don't have jobs, and the economy in general suffers. So it's really a big cycle, and we all do need to work together in order to give these people who are providing food for everyone instructions and guidelines for how to provide foods, which in general are going to provide a healthier population in the long run.
But what about when food industry capitalizes on nutrient information, but they do it in such a way where it's really false advertising? For instance, you know, EPA and DHA, omega-3 fatty acids, we now realize that these are very, very important fats for our diet. So manufacturers will now say, this product now contains, you know, DHA. But when you read the ingredient list, you find that it has such a minuscule amount of DHA that it's really negligible. It's really not even worth saying. But the governing bodies that oversee the industry allow them to do this, and people are fooled because people don't know. They think, oh, well, this has omega-3s. I'm supposed to be getting more. I'll just eat more of these potato chips because they now contain omega-3 fatty acids.
Yeah. DHA is an interesting example because it takes an extraordinarily small amount of it to have an effect. So it's tricky in that way. And also, it seems that the problem that you're talking about of advertising, whether it's false or it's not, whether it's intended to be false or not, is inherent in the financial system, which supports the people who make the food, who give us the food so we're not hungry, and at the same time provide jobs. So there's really a number of internal contradictions. Maybe we could go over to trans fat. This is a little bit, the whole history with trans fat is interesting. It was another one of those things where industry was trying to provide a food, in this case margarine, which had that good old feel of the customary food, which was butter. And so they could harden the margarine so it was vegetable oil, but it wasn't flowing all over the place and kind of looked and acted like butter. And they did that by a process called hydrogenation of the vegetable oils. And this created a chemical in the foods which didn't grow with the food. So the concept of food synergy comes in because the evolution of the organism that we're eating, or the part of the organism that's the oil or the spread that we're putting on our food, it was good or tasted good.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that is not good for you. It didn't grow with the food. It didn't have all the balances that are inherent in organisms and food. Now, what happened? The industry loved it because they had margarine and they could just change the nature of the margarine at will, and they could always say new and improved. And nobody really suspected, in part, I think, because they were not depending on evolutionary
contributions, right,
that the trans fat might be good. Well, what finally happened is epidemiologic studies that showed that trans fats were bad, and then a movement for labeling. As soon as it was on the label, that was and people were saying, well, trans fat's bad, we should have none of it, which is not quite true either. There are trans fats in dairy, which could be good.
Beneficial. I know.
And those are evolutionarily protected. They grew with the cow.
Right, right.
So as soon as that happened, that the industry had to put a label on that said such and such amount of trans fat, they would said, well, we want to have really none or very little. And then they moved away. Well, the alternatives, you know, if you still want a harder margarine, you're going to have to put in something which is more saturated or use some other industrial
Real butter from grass pasture-fed cows been unpasteurized and unhomogenized. You know, I want to talk about that when we come out of the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Supreme Radio.
Carl Lenore.
I want to live longer. I want to be stronger. I want to be healthier. And I want everybody to come along.
Calling out the daytime television quacks.
I want to see Dr. Oz do those things in the gym. He's out there telling people how to be stronger, be healthier, look better, live longer. Let's see him put himself to the test. Let's see any of these people do the things that we do in this audience here.
Motivating the people.
We are the true superhuman.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced Phytoform. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. David Jacobs. We're talking about diet patterns and longevity. Why not just butter, Dr. Jacobs? I mean, we know now, especially if it's not, you know, from conventional farms that are feeding cows corn and grain and soy, that if these are pastured cows and the butter is handled in a way that it's been handled hundreds of years ago, that it actually has benefits, including those trans fats that you point out that don't seem to be as evil. Why not just butter?
Well, I think my recommendation and what I'm extracting from the dietary pattern information is plant-based, but dairy may have a place as well. Lots of different kinds of foods, so a wide variety of all of the different foods that you're eating across many different categories of foods, and relatively sort of at the bottom level of the energy that you need to keep in balance. So I don't think that any food would be forbidden.
Mm-hmm.
But butter is fine, but how much butter are you going to eat? The famous studies with the Finns, who were among the world champions in having heart disease and dying in their 50s and that kind of thing, the story that's told is that the Finns were buttering their cheese. I don't think we should forget that.
But was that accurate? We find that a lot of times we say things here in the United States to substantiate our positions, like Asians eat so much soy, but they don't eat the kind of soy we eat here. They eat fermented soy. They don't give their baby soy formula. Was it really true? Were the Finns really eating that much butter? And then if so, so do the French.
I think the Finns were eating more butter and dairy at mm-hmm. that time.
Okay.
And the French also were. I mean, the French example is very interesting. The epidemiologic problems in interpreting all of these different kinds mm-hmm. of study designs and facts are very large.
Right.
Actually, I've been saying that we should be starting to teach epidemiology and biases that that you can have in population data, and certainly in high school. This is stuff which is raw material that really all citizens ought to have. Anyway, the French example is very interesting. The Cretan example in the 1960s is very interesting. It's very interesting and provocative that the horrible famines that occurred during World War II also were accompanied by reductions in cardiovascular disease occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about richness of diet that it's a little bit hard to put your finger exactly on what you mean by richness, but there's something about that tends to promote the kinds of vascular disease that I mostly work mm-hmm. with. So I think it is true that the Finns were buttering their cheese. And what happened in Finland is then they said, we don't want to be champions in this particular field. And they really changed their national diet. They started bringing in a lot more plant food. So there's ways to interpret it, and also ways to interpret the French experience. The Finns expanded the number of different foods that they ate. They were not eating as much of any given thing in as large portions. So they were following the rule that I'm talking about of eating a lot of variety.
Mm-hmm.
They probably were eating smaller portions. I don't know. That might not be true. The French experience is eating a lot of different things. Rather, if you eat in France, you get a lot of things on your plate in relatively small portion
right.
sizes. And then the beverage tends to be alcoholic, but with the food and then not too much. Although there are plenty of French alcoholics and liver cirrhosis as a result.
Well, there's another aspect of the European diet that we forget about. And this may have been I wrote a blog post several years ago saying that maybe it's the walk to and from the restaurant that's affecting that's causing the French paradox and not the food that they sit down to. And that's pretty much been played out in a recent study that shows that inactivity is the number one predictor of all three of the major reasons for death in this country: cardiovascular disease, cancer, obviously diabetes, which leads to all of these things. One of the things that we forget, you know, when we look at the Okinawan study, oh, let's eat like the Okinawans because they live to be 100 and something. Or we look at the Hunza, oh, they're lacto-vegetarians, let's eat like them. What we forget about these people is many of these slightly more primitive societies that we are looking to for answers go to bed at sundown, get up at sunrise. They are busy all day long working, moving. They don't sit in front of a computer for 8 hours a day and then sit in their car and drive home, then sit at the dinner table, then sit and watch the news and then get in bed. You know, my concern about, I agree with you 1,000%. And I think that this discussion that you are opening up needs to be had, because clearly food and disease have a relationship, but they don't have a relationship in a vacuum. A lot of times activity can mitigate a bad diet. Now, I'm not suggesting that people go out and eat crap food and just exercise all day long, but in actuality, it can. So when we look at the French paradox or the Okinawans, we have to take into account their lifestyle when we look at how they eat. Would you agree with that statement?
Partly, I agree with it. I think that it's really important. I mean, I think the focus in life should be to live a good life, to be helpful to others, and various other things which might almost sound religious. Using your body for what it was intended for, which in my case would be chasing after grandchildren, is of merit. Being able to take care of yourself and being able to take care of other people is a merit, and that's quite apart from whether you get chronic disease or not. Now, the Finns, many of them were very active, such as lumberjacks, and that mm-hmm. did not protect them. So okay. there's an example where it didn't work.
Okay.
But that leads us back to the question of how can we know, which is related to your question about what does food of the future, or what would an ideal situation look like,
right.
what would the labels be. So I think that for this, the right answer is how would we know? And the way that we know, I think, is two different kinds of study designs. One is a prospective epidemiologic study where you look at the total life experience, the food patterns that people are eating, the exercise patterns, alcohol use, whether they're nice to each other or they're not. And you follow them for quite a few years. If a good study would track what they're doing with their life and their lifestyle as they go along. And you see who gets sick and who doesn't. The even better study than that is a study like the PREDIMED study, which was recently completed, in which you actually randomize people to eat one kind of a diet or not, so that you avoid the biases of things being connected to each other and causing confounding. Those are extremely hard to do. The PREDIMED study found that what they called the Mediterranean diet, which is a highly plant-centered diet and was bolstered by either a mixture of nuts or a olive oil, extra mm-hmm. virgin olive oil, which seems to be quite different from refined olive oil in that it contains... It's not filtered as much, so it contains quite a bit more of
right.
the olive meat and the different pieces of that. That was had a 30% reduction in cardiovascular disease, and it was not confounded compared to the suggestion to eat a lower-fat diet. The successful PREDIMED diets had 42% fat. The unsuccessful one would not be called low fat in the United States. It was 37%
right,
fat.
Right.
But they were pressuring them. They said, well, don't eat olive oil. You know, it's bad for you because it's an oil and that sort of thing. So that particular comparison, it's a little bit vague exactly what they tested. Was it the nuts? Was it the extra virgin olive oil? Was it the overall advice? Was it the Spanish delicious sofrito?
I love sofrito.
I mean, it is a little vague, but
being forced to take a break, but I have a question on the other side that may pull this all together. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of Dr. David Jacobs.
Where mind, muscle, and body come for intense training. You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore. We'll be right back.
Train harder, train longer, recover faster, and elevate protein synthesis. It's finally here. Splice with branched chain amino acids, taurine, and trimethylglycine. You'll blast through your workouts without the need for stimulants. And the alpha-lactalbumin ensures your workouts will be the most productive because nothing accelerates muscle growth faster. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Predator Nutrition banner ad and use the coupon code SPLYCE10 to save 10% off today. Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin-releasing hormone. That, in turn, turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force button. Banner ad today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Rhythm is a dancer. It's a source companion. People feel it everywhere.
Welcome back.
Lift your hands.
Okay. So, a lot of times, what we think works doesn't work. It's like it's elusive, you know, like you were just pointing out in the previous discussion. What role does genetic polymorphisms play in the scope of what you eat being beneficial for you? I have to believe, just as we see lactose persistence, we even see chitinase persistence in individuals who probably ate a lot more bugs and shellfish. What role does that play in one food being good for you but not good for me?
Well, I'm sure it plays a role, but I would classify genetic polymorphisms as micromanagement of the diet.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, at present, we don't know what genetic polymorphisms each of us has. It's possible that we would know in the future, but it's unlikely because there are billions of them. And how are we going to know which ones are important and which ones are not important There's a few that stand out. For example, there's genetic polymorphisms, which lead to cystic fibrosis and to Tay-Sachs syndrome and other horrible diseases. But for the when you get down to how do you process a given food versus how do I process a given food, and considering the variety of food, that, you know, food is not just, an apple is not an apple. There are many varieties of apples, and they are all different depending upon how they grow. So you're really eating an average. You eat each specific things, but it affects your health with the average of everything that you're eating. For an individual, for you compared to me, a genetic polymorphism might be important. But I don't see how we're ever going to know that. And so I don't see how it's going to be useful. In the population studies, it's not going to work.
Right.
It's going to average out, so it won't affect the results. In general, I tend to think that it's better just to be, sociable. You know, eat for family, eat for friends, eat for enjoyment, but focus on eating a wide variety of different things in small portions and plant-centered.
But don't ignore your body's messages. Don't take Nexium because you want to eat this food, but it doesn't agree with you. I love this term, well, that doesn't agree with me. So
yeah.
Let's find a way to override that. Aren't those the body telling us, hey, this is not an ideal food for me. If it causes indigestion, heartburn, or
yes,
in the case of grain and celiac disease, you know, chronic
yeah.
inflammation and rheumatoid arthritis and all that other stuff.
I've been very puzzled by the success of the gluten-free market, and many people are similarly puzzled by that.
Why so?
A celiac disease is caused by a gluten allergy, which is very severe. And if you've ever seen a celiac who is underfed, malabsorbing, and cachectic, very thin, it's pretty shocking. And it seems as though the other kinds of of things that might be caused by gluten in people who don't have that disease must be rare. Now, the people are speaking, and they're buying gluten-free products. So why are they doing it? I would say that they're listening to their bodies. Now, what is a gluten-free product? A gluten-free product is one, I mean, we call it gluten-free, and it would be free of gluten, but it basically doesn't have wheat. There's a couple of other grains that also have gluten. So we're really talking about the whole food, and the wheat in general has many proteins, not just gluten.
I was just going to say, it may not be the gluten, but because all the other lectin-based proteins are not there, it could be one of those.
Yes, right. And so I would say that the popular success of gluten-free products is people listening to their bodies and saying, I don't feel as comfortable when I eat that.
Yes.
It's not anywhere near as severe as a cachectic celiac. So it's a much less problem. But I think listening to your body, of course, and I am speaking holistically, talking about people eating in such a way that they enjoy it, that they're participating in their lives, their families, their community, and in general, eating well.
You know, we did a show not too long ago that identified those. There are a faction of people out there that believe that the discomfort they feel when they eat or drink dairy is because they're lactose intolerant. But a scientist went out and looked at them, did a double-blind placebo study, and showed that it was not lactose at all that they were intolerant to, but it was the lectin-like proteins that were in the milk. Well, no. I take that back. I presented the supposition, and he's going back to look at this now. So people who have lactose intolerant, turns out they don't have lactose intolerant. They can tell by the hydrogen ions and the formation of other metabolites in the gut that come out through the breath. And it turns out that they don't have lactose intolerance. It's something else that they are going to look into now. And I presented the supposition that if these cows are being fed grains, corn, wheat, and so on, that there are actually lectin-type proteins in the milk that pass through into the milk, and it could be these that are causing the whole lactose intolerance phenomenon.
So you're asking, you're being a good scientist, Carl. You're asking a good scientific question. I was thinking at one point, I think while I was on hold, that scientists need space from the public to go back and forth, dither around, and test different hypotheses. The way that the media system is working, many of the hypotheses are really immature when they're released to the public. And then, of course, some proportion of people are accepting them or not. I think what you said makes some sense. I don't know the particular studies, but it also says that diet is not something that we're going to be able to break down into a series of reductionist findings,
right,
and to apply them. And so listening to your body and listening to the way that your diet fits in with your life makes a lot of sense as a general rule that people can follow.
What do you hope clinicians and lay people take away from your most recent paper here?
Well, I have a lot of discussion, especially with nutritional researchers, about the use of nutrients in public pronouncements and as a way to understand food. I would like people to move away from that, but most of the people that I'm talking to, and I'm not sure whether I'm right or they're right, are saying, well, there is still some important information in nutrients beyond just looking for nutritional deficiencies. So I really, I think that if people could get to a more holistic view of what diet is, that it would probably lead to better government instructions, better lines of research, and better instructions to industry about what kind of food we want them to serve us. I think that talking less about nutrients is really important. If I could say something about one of the commercials that I was listening to,
yes.
I hope I don't ruin your
relationship. No, go ahead. Don't worry about it.
The one of the people is talking about ketogenesis.
Right.
Ketoacidosis is a dangerous state that can kill you. And so I wonder, why do people need to go in that direction at all? If people were selecting food because they like the food and because it fit into the general simple rules of high phytochemical plant foods and a wide variety of different things and so on, and make it fit into your life instead of trying to manage their body.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you because we're running out of time, but the reason is that that's for performance purposes. And performance athletes don't look at food the same way you and I do.
No, that's right.
Their end point is not to be healthy. Their end point is to win a gold medal.
Yeah,
but
that's
really
reasonable.
What it is. Yeah, that's really where it is. They're not suggesting that everybody try that. Listen, Dr. Jacobs, it's been really great to have you back on the show. Fantastic discussion, important discussion. Keep up the great work, okay?
Thanks so much, Carl.
Thank you. And we also want to thank Coach Wade Johnson for being on the Get Strong show earlier in the show. Thank you for suffering through my fumbling with this new time clock. We will see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.
Power Block.